you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Week 7 CSS DFS Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. I am your host of this DFS podcast, Daniel Dopp. To my left is Mike Clay. To my proverbial right is Al Zeidenfeld. And Al, I got to be honest, watching you dance to that theme music every Thursday morning, it's just nice. You know, I see a smile on your face, a little bit of movement in those old bones. You know what I'm saying?
I'm always so happy to be here. Like, before we start, I'm just kind of like sitting in my chair waiting. As soon as that theme song comes on, I just get so happy. It's such a bop.
That's so good.
He's a lot of energy for, 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
Western, what am I trying to say?
No, go ahead. Keep going. I'm going
to
let you do it.
Western time zone?
I believe what you're trying to say, yeah.
Pacific time zone? There it is.
Western time?
I just make up my own time zones.
Guys, thank you so much for joining
us.
It's
early here too. Okay.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get through a ton of great names here. Check out the obvious season-long podcast that we do. Mike was just on that. Mm-hmm. His Shadow Report was a fantastic segment, like it always
wow,
is.
Thank you.
But yeah, no problem, man.
I know why you're being nice to me, so.
I'm not being nice to you for any reason other than I love you and you're my friend and you deserve to know how much I care about you.
Oh, thank you. I can see.
Absolutely,
man. I can't even be here. Wow. I can't say anything. What am I supposed to say to that?
You say whatever you want to say.
I love you too, man.
I love you too, buddy. All right. Let's talk about our week 6 recap just real fast. Mike Clay won. He's up 4-2 with an asterisk. Mike, let's talk about quarterbacks for this week here in week 7.
Shout out Trojan F-Ball 70 with 242 points. Had a nice week and won our contest.
Let's hope that you entered in the Millie Maker because that was a real good looking lineup.
Yeah.
Real good looking lineup. For real, though, we are going to talk about a bunch of names here for week 7, and we're just going to dive right in because we always seem to go a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And, Mike, I want to get into this. Kyler Murray, again, $7,100, taken on Seattle. We have seen his passing numbers be down a little bit in 2 of the last 3 games, has not reached that 200-yard mark. However, his rushing ability has absolutely saved it for fantasy managers. Talk to me about Kyler this week going up against the Seahawks.
Yeah, he is. And again, I talked about him last week. I may talk about him next week if his price is up. He is the number one scoring fantasy quarterback right now. He's been top 10 every week. So especially in cash, you're getting a crazy high floor.
Yep.
He's been top 5 in 4 of 6 weeks. The guy is ceiling floor, everything you want. Like you said, rushing ability for sure. Leads all quarterbacks in carries, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. He's also 10th in pass attempts. And he's playing Seattle this week. Second most fantasy points, most attempts, most completions, most yards allowed on a per game basis to quarterbacks this season. They allowed pretty decent rushing production to Cam, Dak, and Ryan Fitzpatrick already this season. So really a lot to like here. Again, he's 7,100, the 4th highest priced quarterback. And our friends at Fantasy Labs have his expected exposure here to be 10%. So that's kind of high for a quarterback, but nothing too crazy. Certainly a great cash game option.
Absolutely. Al, I'm going to turn to you and talk about Justin Herbert taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, $6,400. We've seen what he's done the last 2 weeks, 3 touchdowns 2 weeks ago, 4 touchdowns last week. What do you like about Herbert going up against Jacksonville?
I like how courageous he is
for
a rookie, to be honest with you. So like the fact that he is challenging downfield, or at least multiple times a game, right? They're putting him in spots where he gets to take shots. I like that he's not staring at his line. I like that he is actually looking like an aggressive, solid NFL quarterback. And for fantasy purposes, he's not priced where those top tier guys are, which I think you can afford and are going to be very attractive this week. But Justin Herbert gives you a little bit of salary relief, has a really high team total, and a matchup against Jacksonville, who's averaging almost 3 points in real life per drive. So more scoring means more opportunities for a quarterback, the highest correlation from real life to fantasy at the position. And everybody's high on Keenan Allen this week, and everybody's high on Hunter Henry this week. And if they get into the end zone 2 or 3 times, and even the redacted one, Mike Williams, might get a long pass from Herbert. He throws 2 or 3 touchdowns and approaches 300 yards at 6,400. I like it.
Can you imagine if Mike Williams actually gets involved and starts doing the Mike Williams things that we know he has the ability to be able to do with Justin Herbert? I mean, how great that offense could look with Kelly. Kelly right now, obviously, once Eckler comes back, Keenan Allen is still fantastic. Like you said, Hunter Henry. There's a lot of options in that offense if they can be fully healthy and realize some of the potential that they have.
Yeah, that's interesting. We thought this offense would kind of be depressed this season by Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
No disrespect to him. He scrambles a lot. He takes a lot of sacks. They were going to run the football. But it's been opened up,
yeah,
certainly, with Justin Herbert there. So it's going to be interesting. And we saw him when Keenan Allen went out last week, he just started going to Mike Williams. Maybe now he trusts both guys. You know, he was just leaning on Allen. It's going to be interesting for sure. So, yeah.
Speaking of trust, Mike, I want to know, we had a lot of talk last week about how you can trust Matthew Stafford going into that matchup, and it didn't play out quite as well as we had hoped. But this week, Matthew Stafford gets the Atlanta Falcons, and we know that the Falcons have been a great place for quarterbacks to be able to get right. Are you trusting Stafford this week after what happened last week?
It's a tough one. You know, his best weekly finish this season is 10th.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about Kyler Murray, who's been top 10 every week so far this season, and the difference in price between those two guys is $600. I mean, it kind of makes you want to go the other direction right there. Uh-huh. The good news is he plays Atlanta. Most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, top three in attempts, completions, yards. They've allowed 313 plus passing yards in every game this season. Also, 18 touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks already this season. It's a great matchup. You know, I was lower than the consensus, we'll say, in Kirk Cousins last week. And that looked good for a while in that game. And then he went into garbage time and looked fantastic. So Stafford's kind of in that same conversation. I'm a little nervous about what he's done so far, but the matchup is just so good against Atlanta here.
It really is. I want to throw out two more names real quick. Joe Burrow, $5,500 against Cleveland. One of the things that you'll see when you look at Joe Burrow is when the Bengals have scored at least 20 points, he has hit that bonus for DraftKings to be able to get you those three extra points for 300-yard games. Their current implied point total is 23. So right now, lining up for Joe Burrow to potentially be a nice, if you were looking for someone a little bit less expensive on this slate, Burrow kind of feels like that guy. On the opposite end, Al, real quick, I want to talk to you about Josh Allen. $7,700, taking on the New York Jets. We've seen what Allen can do. But against this Jets defense, is this high price point for Allen still worth it? Or would you try to pivot and go in a different direction here?
It's tournament only for me. Like, if I'm building head-to-head lineups, I'm not going to rely on Josh Allen in a game where he may, this may just turn into a blowout really quickly, and he may not be able to access a ceiling game. Now, obviously, it's the path of least resistance being against the Jets, but how much upside do we really have? We want him in games where we have a reasonable path to him having to throw or do things with his legs in the second half, and I think he's great for tournaments. I think he's got a lower floor than usual with access to a similar ceiling, 28 to 35 points. But the variance in between is what I don't like. I'd rather take another one of these quarterbacks in a high ceiling game, a high floor game, at the similar price point. So he's tournament only. He's not going to be rostered by as many people this week. So if you want to take a shot in tournaments and go with a skinny stack, that's just fine.
Yep. Agreed. For sure. By the way, quick note on Burrow. He just mentioned the Bengals and Browns already played this season week two. The score of that game was 35-30. So just something to think about there. I think Burrow is just getting better and better. And the Browns, you can throw on the Browns. So interesting name at only 5,500.
Man, Burrow and Herbert both have just looked fantastic. And we're going to get to see Tua.
Yeah, he's on a bye. Or they're on a bye, but next
this
week.
This will be exciting.
We'll talk him Tua next week, right?
All right. Mike, how do you banish high rates on car insurance?
I don't know. How do you do that?
You switch to Geico during Geico-ween, all right? October is their favorite time of year. Folks over at Geico have been working harder than ever to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when you could see what they've been brewing up, some spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could be saving. No eye of newt needed. And happy Geico-ween, everybody. Man, we hope you guys have an awesome Halloween season. This is going to be a lot of fun here.
Can't wait.
Moving on to running backs. Mike, Antonio Gibson, $5,000, taken on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, obviously, the volume, we've not seen legit RB1 volume from Antonio Gibson yet, but this Dallas defense, with the added volume that he has been getting recently, does prove for a nice matchup here.
Yeah, and he's the 21st highest priced running back in the slate, right? At only 5K. So I like him a lot against Dallas, and there's a lot of reasons why here. Look, he only has one top 20 week, so you definitely wonder about his upside a little bit, but I'll get to that in a second. He's been top 28 five straight weeks with 10 plus points in all of them. So in a cash lineup, I think that presents you with a pretty good floor at a low price. His touch totals, pretty decent. 13, 16, 17, 12, 14, 11. He's handled 56% of Washington's carries and 4 targets per game since week 2. So again, pretty solid workload there. Washington has not run a lot of offensive snaps this season. They're a little bit below average, but they're running one of the fastest paced offenses. So I think that will uptick going forward, kind of regress to the mean a little bit. And then here's the key to this matchup. He's playing Dallas this week at home. The Cowboys have faced the most rush attempts by running backs. They've allowed the most rushing yards to running backs. They've allowed 7 rushing touchdowns to that position. They've allowed the fewest receptions to running backs, but that's where J.D. McKissic has been involved, right? So yeah. It's been Gibson in, you know, as their primary rusher this season. I think this sets up for maybe a career high in carries, and I love him at the price point.
I love the idea of Washington realizing that they need to take advantage of that run defense. Keep the Dallas offense off the field. Maybe Antonio Gibson, like you said, goes off and has the most carries he's ever had in a game. Like, game script could play out that way in a really nice way for Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I think so. And I just think, I know it's been back and forth with McKissic, how they've been utilized, but who's the better football player there? I mean,
yeah.
Come on. Over time, it should just be more and more and more Gibson. And if he breaks a run or two, I mean, look, Kenyon Drake was unlocked last week against this Dallas.
Yeah, he was.
Had, what, 160 rushing yards? I mean, if Gibson doesn't go off this week, I mean, what are we doing here? So great situation for him.
I want to talk to you about Kareem Hunt, because even though he struggled last week a little bit, we've seen, especially since he's taken over for Nick Chubb and even with Nick Chubb, how unbelievable he has been. This week, taking on Cincy, $6,800. Do you think that he's worth this price point here?
I mean, I hope everybody's looking back at that Steelers game and game log watching before they build their lineups and say, I can't play Kareem Hunt because he only got 10 carries last week. I mean, if you look back at week 2, the Browns running backs ran 35 times for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns, good for 54.4 DraftKings points. And now one Nick Chubb is not playing in this game, and Kareem Hunt's going to see the majority of his work, where with both of them active, Chubb was carrying the ball 43% of the time, and Hunt was carrying it like 37% of the time. Now he's gone. We're going to see Kareem Hunt carry it 60%+ of the time, as well as being involved in the passing game and the inside the 5 carries and everything else and the matchup and the high team total. There's very few paths for a bell cow to not achieve the points that you want, or at least have a 15-point floor when they're under 7K. So I think that the floor is here. I think that the median projection is great, and I think that the upside is fantastic, as he scored 2 touchdowns against them last time in part-time duty.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All that paints a real nice picture for you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely a solid play for sure.
Let's talk about Justin Jackson. Super cheap here. $4,900 taking on Jacksonville. Excuse me. One of the things you like about Justin Jackson is the volume that he saw last week, Mike. Talk to me about Justin Jackson here.
Definitely. He comes in at $4,900 here against Jacksonville. Just super cheap at the running back position for a guy who last week, you know, with the first game without Austin Ekeler, or I should say 2 weeks ago before their bye, played 41 of the 69 snaps, had 15 carries and 6 targets. That's big time usage. And that was with Josh Kelly playing 24 snaps with 11 carries and 1 target. And by the way, I talked about this early in the season on our other podcast, on the other Fantasy Focus podcast, the main one, of course. You know, Josh Kelly's efficiency numbers coming into the league, not very good, right? He was in that box where you get a little nervous and think, you know, is this guy going to be effective in the pros? And he has a 3.2 yards per carry so far. And again, that's one number, one metric. There's a lot that can inflate or deflate that. But so far, he's 18th in carries, and the efficiency has not been good. You also have the Jacksonville defense that's top 5 in terms of fantasy points, carries, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns allowed to running backs. It's a great matchup. The only concern here is perhaps how many rosters he's going to be on in DFS this week. He's at projected 14% again from Fantasy Lab. So that's, you know, it's not a huge number, but it's going to be, you know, people are aware that his price point is too low.
Al, when you look at that rostership percentage, how is it that you're looking at a player, especially within a tournament lineup, to be able to decide where that threshold is that you feel comfortable with?
So I don't have the stat at my disposal at this second, but I'm gonna guess, and Kyle can correct me if I'm wrong here, but like, the issue with rostering a running back when is not the percent played number, not the clickability number, right? It's more, what are you doing with the rest of the lineup? So if everybody's going to be playing Allen, and Allen is going to be a highly rostered player, and a lot of people are going to click on Hunter Henry, as we'll get to later, the percent of times that a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver for the past 10 or 20 years have all scored over 25 DraftKings points is like 1% of the time in the same game. So you're kind of capping your ceiling if you're going to be playing all three, that combination, and they're the usual suspects. It's like Drew Brees, Thomas, and Kamara, right?
Sure.
Like the ones
sure.
who only get the usage. So this doesn't seem like that situation. Yes, it can happen in outlier situations. This may be that sort of outlier situation, especially if Jackson catches a long touchdown. but I would probably go with one or the other. I'm going to go with Herbert Stacks to his pass catchers, or I'm going to go and eschew the pass catchers and go with Jackson in the majority of lineups. I'm not saying I won't play them together. It's just a situation where I'm not going to care about the number for an individual player. I care more about the cumulative number for all of my nine players added up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he's going to get some targets, but I'll hit the nail on the head. Generally, you're not going to want to stack a, you know, a Jackson with the quarterback and Henry, right? I don't need to repeat what you just said. Although I think, yeah. Didn't the guy that won the Millie last week, didn't he have Henry and Tannehill too? I mean, you just don't see that
like
often.
It can happen. Yeah, right? Right. And like, think about the
it's just funny timing,
situation
right?
Where like Tannehill has like four touchdowns and then Henry busts off a 100-yard touchdown.
Exactly.
Run.
So yeah. Like, I don't think Justin Jackson's going to do that. So I'm with you. It's just something that popped in my head. It was just kind of a funny coincidence that we were talking about that the week that Henry, mm-hmm. you know, the guy had a stacked lineup. I think he had, or no, the one guy that was near the top that had Firkser, I think finished second. He like just missed. I mean, to hit on Anthony Firkser, and he just fell short.
Yeah, it was like Falcon stacks and then like secondary stacks with Tennessee game.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about a couple more running backs here. I just quickly want to mention Aaron Jones taking on Houston, like him. Joe Mixon taking on the Browns. We like him on the opposite side of this Kareem Hunt game. Mm-hmm. David Johnson taking on Green Bay. And Mike Davis, one last week, hopefully in the cards for Mike Davis.
Yeah, one or two more. Yeah.
Taking on the New Orleans Saints. So fingers crossed Mike Davis can get something done here. Let's move ahead to wide receiver. DeMarcus Robinson, Mike Clay, $3,400.
How about this one?
Of all the wide receivers on the slate you want to talk about, $3,400 DeMarcus Robinson. I'm just going to lay out. Tell me why we need to talk about him.
Because he played Monday night and they didn't adjust his price after a big game.
Ooh.
I mean, we've been talking about punts these past few weeks, and we're talking about like Jeff Smith or an injured KJ Hamler or Khalif Raymond. Now we're talking about a guy who last week, without Sammy Watkins in this Chiefs offense, which I'm told is good, played 95% of their snaps, which led all their wide receivers, including Tyreek Hill. His 69 snaps were, I mean, Mecole Hardman played 29. It wasn't even close to the other guys. He was clearly an every down player with Tyreek Hill. And again, he's 3,400. He's down in that territory of guys that are basically punts, but he's not a punt. This guy could easily have 20 points, two touchdowns. He had 12 fantasy points last week with five catches for 69 yards. His six targets were second to only Travis Kelce in that game. And by the way, they're playing Denver. They faced the fourth most targets and the fourth most catches allowed to wide receivers this season. They've had some good efficiency against that position, but again, they faced a ton of volume. People are throwing at them. So Robinson is just way too cheap, and his projected rostership from Fantasy Labs is 3%, which I think it's going to be a lot higher than that. I'm kind of surprised that's low, but if that's the case, I mean, that's money in the bank.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Al? What?
I don't think it's going to be 3%. I think that they, knowing Fantasy Labs, they put in like an initial projection there, and then they're going to, it gets edited on like Friday and Saturday. That's going to go way up.
Yeah, I think so too. I'll be shocked. 20.
Yeah, easily. And in cash games, he's going to be extremely high. Mm-hmm. But for me, it always comes down to, especially for punt players, define failure, right? So like what would failure be? What would it look like in this game against Denver for DeMarcus Robinson? Like three catches for 45 yards? Like that's not missing by that much,
right?
On his price point. So and upside is he catches a 40-yard touchdown from Patrick Mahomes. And again, like Mike did, I'm going to check my notes here. Patrick Mahomes, good. He's a good football player and good for fantasy. So,
yeah, this feels like it's going to be one of the best punt plays of the season, right? It's just it's almost too good to be true that he's this cheap. So he's 100% going to be locked into my cash lineups. Obviously, you know, tournaments, like you said, a lot of people are going to have him. So maybe you want to move away from him. But, yeah, it's just way too cheap.
Al, I want to throw Terry McLaurin your way. If you look at what Terry's done, he's had double-digit targets in three of his games this year, but he's always had at least seven targets. That's got to be a part of this, is volume inside of that offense that you like about Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I like the volume, and I like the matchup, kind of like we have every single week. We just attack Fantasy Carnival week in, week out. Mm-hmm. This seems to me to be the first time this year that Terry McLaurin, and I have not had a chance to sit down and read Mike's wonderful wide receiver cornerback article, but it seems to me that this will be the first week that Terry McLaurin does not get filed under the disadvantage column.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Is that true, Mike?
Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely had a tough schedule so far. There's no question about that. So,
is he going to get shattered this week? Is there anybody that we have to worry about him
No, he is. He's on the upgrades. He's a great matchup. He's going to see if he gets shadowed. It will be Trevon Diggs, the rookie, and that's how they used him last week. It's the first time in a while Dallas is shadowed, and you know, it didn't go well. Great. You know, they're still allowing a ton of production. So actually, you know what? In fairness, Diggs did do pretty well against DeAndre Hopkins. He had a lot of targets, didn't produce much except for that one long play in that game. So, were you done your point, Al?
I just like Terry McLaurin a lot. Every single week, he's done great, even with the tough coverages every single week. Now he gets a really great matchup that allows for a ton of scoring to basically everybody that they face. So, like, if we've played him in the weeks and he's averaging 16.2 DraftKings points through the tough coverages at 5.8K, now we have what is a favorable matchup. Why would we not play him in a spot where he could be probably more efficient than when he's being defended by Baltimore, Cleveland, Ramsey, or Bradbury?
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that's a good transition point to some of the other guys. I know we're going to talk about the Steelers here in a second, but it's an interesting week. When I first ran it and looked at the great values, I was like, oh, he's in the wide receiver cornerback article. He is a good matchup. Oh, so does he. It was kind of, it usually doesn't align this well. So I quickly want to mention those other guys because they fit right in.
Yeah, go ahead,
Mike. McLaurin here. DeAndre Hopkins against Seattle,
getting
destroyed by wide receivers this season. Davante Adams against Houston. Now, he may draw the Bradley Roby shadow, but he's coming off a rough game in which he shadowed A.J. Brown. So, Adams, we feel good about. Stephon Diggs gets the Jets again. Great. They've nothing at corner right now. Keenan Allen gets Jacksonville. He should be fine. D.J. Hayden's not playing in the slot for them. Jameson Crowder gets the Bills. Again, heavily targeted. And the Bills thought of as a good pass defense, but they've allowed the 6 most fantasy points to the slot this season. And A.J. Green against the Browns. Again, another team allowing a ton of production to wide receivers this season. So pretty much across the board, our great values have outstanding matchups. So that marriage of good value and excellent matchup, it's just you're sitting pretty with this group.
So that leads me into what we want to talk about next here, because with Steelers wide receivers, there's a lot of people that when we're looking at this, right, Juju has just been an enigma, right? He has been an onion wrapped in a maze, wrapped in an enigma.
Wow, okay.
He's like a parfait of... Right?
Parfaits are delicious, Daniel.
Parfaits have layers. So listen, here's the thing. You've got Juju. You've got Chase Claypool. You've got Deontay Johnson, who has been hurt coming back. Obviously, we've seen Chase Claypool do really well in his absence. So, Mike, I kind of just want to set the table and let you talk about these Steelers wide receivers and our expectations for him this week. And then, Al, we can kind of come back and just have some conversation after he's done.
Yeah, how about this? I'm going to talk through these four guys quick and the matchup a little. And then, Al, you tell us who to play, okay? Can you give us the right answer?
Yeah, just give us, just tell us who to play.
I'm doing there, and I don't like
No pressure. So look, let's, and again, quickly just run through your options here. Chase Claypool's 5,700. He had 10 targets in week 5, but has 4 or fewer in his other 4 games. So keep that in mind. He had that huge game. He did score last week, but 4 or fewer targets in all but one game. Smith-Schuster's 5,500, so 200 less. He's an 18% target share. That's highest on the team, but only a 12% air yard share. That's 5th. So a lot of short area targets. I do think it's an interesting matchup because, Tennessee's a lot to the slot. It's a good matchup for him. They're gonna have to throw more than usual, so maybe this is the week that kind of unlocks him. Then Deontay Johnson, right? 4,200, so way cheaper than those first two guys. And again, I'm just gonna repeat a stat I said last week. Week 1, 11 targets. Week 2, 14. Week 3, he had 2, but he left after 10 pass plays. He had 69 air yards in that game. Week 5, he was only on the field for 4 pass plays and got a target. So when he's played and been healthy, he's heavily utilized and plays ahead of Chase Claypool. There's no question about that. And then there's James Washington, who I loved last week. 4,100, a little less than Deontay. A 15% target share, but again, his snaps probably going to drop. Of course, he'll probably go off this week. But anyway, snaps you would think would drop as they try to get Claypool on the field with Smith-Schuster and Johnson. And by the way, great matchup. 4th most fantasy points allowed to receivers by Tennessee this season, the 5th most to the perimeter and the slot. So just across the board, all of these guys are set up well. Tons of touchdowns, yards, receptions allowed by this defense. So, how much more information do you need, Al? I mean, tell us who to play.
I need to know my if-then statements, essentially, is what everything comes down to me to me on a week-to-week basis with these players. And up to this point in the season, the if-then statement has been, if Deontay Johnson is playing, then Chase Claypool sits behind him on the depth chart. But are we looking at a merit-based promotion based on how he's played in Deontay Johnson's absence the last couple of weeks? And that's what's up in the air, and that's what makes things difficult. I think that it's very possible that like you're saying, they may look to get that trio on the field with Juju in the slot, Claypool and Johnson on the outside. The difference is Claypool's been priced up based on, at least on merit on DraftKings, and Deontay, based on his injury status and the fact that he's left a couple of games and posted kind of, you know, 0.9 points and 0.8 points based on the way that DraftKings does their pricing algorithm, has dropped from 5,400 to 4,200, 5,600 to 4,200, where if he is healthy, and I can't predict whether or not he will stay healthy for an entire game, but if he practices in full today, practices in full on Friday, and is 100% a go and name the starter, he's too cheap to ignore. Now, I understand if you don't want to play him in your cash games, your head-to-head, your 50-50s, but at 4,200, I'm going to have a lot more than a sprinkle in tournaments if he's 100% go.
Yeah, and just, you know, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We're going to do our lineup shortly, but full discretion, sometimes I'll run my optimizer. I'll see what it says, see if I'm comfortable with it. Normally, I am. This week, it had Deontay in there, and I changed it. I just crossed him off. I don't want him in there because I'm not comfortable with him in cash because I don't know how he's going to be used, and you want safer players in that game. Like, certainly you could punt, and he's super cheap in cash. That's the key. And that's where I was going next. In a tournament setting, I want to mess around with these guys, right? I think a lot of people still be on Claypool this week, but Deontay is, I mean, based on the projection I have for him this week, which again, a lot of volatility in there. We don't know exactly how he's going to be used, but it's down from where his usage was earlier in the season. He's in the 98th percentile of value at that price. He's crazy, crazy cheap. So he's tempting. I want to use him in cash because of that price point, but I can't do it in cash. So, but again, tournament setting, you want pieces of this game. Mix and match. Have fun with it. People are down in Smith-Schuster. Get him in there. Maybe utilize Deontay and fade Claypool. You could use Ebron. You could go back to the Washington well from last week. I mean, there's a lot you could do, but you know, expose yourself kind of randomly to these players in tournaments. But again, I would avoid in cash.
Okay. Man, good conversation today, guys. I'm really
You seem surprised.
Well, you know, it's just
you're so proud.
We have good weeks and bad weeks. Okay.
Let's talk about some tight ends we got here. Mike, Austin Hooper, $4,000, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. It's been tough to trust anyone really other than what feels like the running backs in that Browns offense, but $4,000 doesn't seem like a bad price point for Austin Hooper and the volume he's getting.
Yeah, and I talked to Al about this when we were prepping for the show yesterday and going through topics, and I was like, you know, I feel like I'm recycling, just redoing Kyler Murray and Austin Hooper again, like featuring them, but I mean, what am I supposed to do? Be like, oh, he's a great value, but we talked about him last week, so let's just pick someone else. That's not what we want to do, right? We want to win, and Austin Hooper is still priced too low. He's 4K. He's the 11th highest priced tight end. As I mentioned before, the last time Cincinnati and Cleveland played, it was 35-30, and Burrow's just getting better and better and better on that side, so they're going to score points. And of course, you know, Baker maybe not playing as well, but he is involving Austin Hooper a lot more, and that's the key on that side of the ball. So there's definitely an opportunity for a lot of points in this game. Hooper has 23 targets in his past three games, 5+ catches in every game. You love that floor out of your tight end. 5+ catches, that's basically guaranteeing you double-digit points or close to it. He's finished top 12 all three of those weeks. He's 10+ points, as I mentioned, in all three. And by the way, the Bengals defense, 6 most fantasy points to tight ends, top 5 in targets, catches, yards. They were beat up by the Eagles, the Ravens, and the Colts tight ends over their past four games. Good matchup, good price. Good usage, a lot to like with Austin Hooper.
Heck yeah. If you want to, Al, I'm going to come to you. If you want to pay up just a little bit more, we already talked about the Chargers here, but Hunter Henry, $4,500. What do you like about Henry this week?
I mean, again, I like the game environment. I like the fact that there is a very condensed target tree that he's throwing to. There's basically three guys plus a running back in that passing game that Herbert's going to throw to, and Hunter Henry, one of the better red zone and end zone targets, and we know that once the Chargers get in close, they're very apt to throw the ball to their tight end in the end zone. So there's a lot of signs pointing to him having a solid day, and he's, again, only 4,500, 500 more than Hooper, but he's seen a good amount of targets in a lot of games in a row here. He's got a really high floor, and I think that he needs to be priced probably in the 5,200. Like, you look at guys that are priced at 5,200 and above at tight end. You got Robert Tonyan at 46. You've got Noah Fant at 48. Hockenson at 5K. And then we've seen other guys in that 52 to 5,400 range. And I think that's where Henry's price should be every week, not just this week in a fantastic matchup against Jacksonville.
So speaking of that, you were talking about guys who, you know, maybe a little bit of a higher price point there that always seem to be involved. Travis Kelce is one of those guys that every week I look at the tight end position, I look at who he's playing, and I look at how much he is to be able to decide whether or not he belongs in my lineup, because you're basically playing the wide receiver there in the tight end position. And Al, do you think that the price point for Travis Kelce fits this week for what you're looking for in your lineup?
Yes, because I like scoring.
Okay.
He does that a lot.
Agreed.
A touchdown or 70-plus games or 70-plus yards in every game this season, a 20 or more yard reception in pretty much every game this season. And last season, he got targeted 21 times in the two games against Denver, caught 17 of those balls. So the Broncos just don't have the answer for the question that is Travis Kelce.
Yep.
To steal a line from Matthew Berry, 100%.
100%.
100%.
That's a Matthew Berry line?
Yeah, he says 100% all the time.
All the time, he really does.
He's a great value again this week. I've been saying this for weeks. The top tight ends, I think, are still underpriced. So if you have a chance to get in on them, I would do that, and he's one of them.
Okay. All right, guys. I think we've reached... Hold on, we got two more. Sorry, that's
come
my
on,
fault.
Boss.
We got two more. My bad.
Talk about more things.
Let's talk about Noah Fant here. I love Noah Fant, man.
Yeah. By the way, so... this is an if-then thing, right? So, Al, you like to say if-then, so we're doing like a little if-then segment here.
Okay.
But I think we should, speaking of things we say too often, we should change it to, I mean, by the way.
I mean, by the way.
Because, Al, you say, I mean, before everything, and I say, by the way, about everything, which I hear myself doing it.
That's so good.
If-then is, I mean, by the way.
All right. So, I mean, by the way, there's two different situations that you're looking at here. You got Noah Fant, whether or not he's healthy. And if he is not healthy, is there someone else that you like? And same with Jonnu Smith on the other side of the ball. So, let's start with Denver. We'll talk about Fant first.
Yeah. I mean, if Noah Fant's out, by the way, Albert O is an option. Does that work? I don't know. This is just... Does that work?
That's close enough.
If then. So, okay. So, that's exactly right. Look, Noah Fant was the number four tight end before the week five bye. Obviously, if he plays, he's a good play. He's 4,800. That's a decent price. And Albert O filled in for him last week. He kind of out of nowhere. He's a rookie. He's been a healthy scratch. He finally got an opportunity. He drew Locke's college teammate. It's kind of interesting, that connection, because Albert O had a huge season in 2018 with Drew Locke. Then Drew Locke gets drafted. Albert O had a bad year last year.
Yeah.
And now suddenly he comes in and is playing with Locke, and look at him go. 14 of 26 routes he was on the field for. He was targeted six times, had 85 air yards. That was second most on the team. So he's below what I think of for the minimum, Al. If I'm thinking the minimum price for a player, I know it's different by position, right? But I think like $3,000. He's 2,500, so he's super cheap.
They dropped the floor for pricing at tight ends down to 2,500. Like you said, they played in college. These guys have showered before together, so you've got that shower narrative working for you now that they're on the same pro team. It's been tried and true. This is a back-tested narrative that has worked for us in the past.
Has it?
With like Beathard and Kittle, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
We need that. We need that.
The real thing.
So if you're out there listening and you are building like an optimizer, make sure you put that setting in there. We need a filter for.
Got to build that rule.
Yeah. Have they showered together 50 plus times? I mean, if so. So it definitely on both of those guys, depending on which one of them plays. And then the other one, of course, is Daniel mentioned, is Tennessee, right? Jonnu Smith, 4,700. He's been top 10 all 4 weeks before he was injured last week. So he's been high floor and obviously high ceiling as well. And by the way, if he's out, Anthony Firkser is, again, near that minimum. He's $3,000 in this game against the Steelers. Firkser, last week, Smith was actually played in that game, went down early. Firkser on 43 pass plays for Tennessee, ran 27 routes, 9 targets, 8 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. He played fewer snaps than Jeff Swaim, and his career highs before that game were 5 targets, 4 catches, 52 yards, and he only had 2 career touchdowns, which makes you a little nervous. But again, he's... the way he was utilized, the routes, the targets, if Smith's out, I mean, at $3,000, he's definitely going to be a good play.
Heck yeah. All right. I think we're ready.
We're ready.
Right? That point of the show?
It is the time.
Or Mike Clay unveils his weekly winning lineup. Mike, let's start with
you. Reverse psychology?
I'm just trying to be a nice guy today. Mike, let's start with you. Quarterback this week, and I'm excited to see your lineup and my lineup have a little bit of overlap here, I've noticed.
Yeah, my quarterback, Kyler Murray, no question. We talked about that one early on. David Johnson and Joe Mixon at running back here. Antonio Gibson as well. I'm going to use one of those guys in the flex, of course. Wide receivers, I love that I could get these two guys in here. Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen, two of the highest target shares in the NFL. Talk about, man, that's just fantastic for a cash lineup to get both of those guys. And then DeMarcus Robinson, we talked about him being so cheap helps out for sure. I'm also going to get more of the Chiefs in here. I thought about trying to get Mahomes in to get these guys together. But again, if the Chiefs have a dud in cash, then I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose if Mahomes, Robinson, and Kelsey all have bad games because Kansas City stumbled in this game, and they are playing at Denver, so that's a possibility against good defense. So I'm okay with having two Chiefs and having them without the quarterback. So Kelsey at tight end, and then Washington defense hosting Andy Dalton at home at 2,500. Love that value.
Heck yeah. All right.
What do you got?
So I'm going to run with Kyler Murray as my quarterback here. Okay. My running back is going to be Alvin Kamara and Antonio Gibson. Those are my two guys there, with Justin Jackson in the flex position there. I've changed it up a little bit here.
Yeah, you did.
Within my wide receivers, I've got DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, and Tyler Lockett to just totally wrap up that entire game that is Arizona and Seattle. At tight end is a little bit of a punt. I've got Anthony Firkser, somebody that I'm looking at. I've fiddled back and forth with this 100 times. I'm going to do it again before we actually play. But if Firkser, if I know for a fact that Jonnu Smith is going to play, then I know like Firkser's not going to be somebody that I'm counting
on. Yeah,
you
have to switch it up.
So I'll have to look at that. So we'll kind of go from there. And then I have the Lions defense. All of those like bargain defenses this week, they're all kind of tough matchups. It's a little bit of just like, which one do you feel most lucky with for me? So going with the Lions there. So... You know, I'm going all in on that Seattle-Arizona game, and I'm hoping that the volume that I'm getting from my running backs will be able to pay off there.
All right.
All right, Al, give us your weekly tournament lineup.
So you guys both went with Kyler, so I built a lineup just for Daniel and just for Kyle.
Yes!
I've got Matthew Stafford as my quarterback, double stacking him with Galladay and Marvin Jones.
Oh, so good!
I tweeted out Kyle's silly stat of the week yesterday. So he thinks that Marvin Jones coming off of the second week after a bye, the last 3 years has posted a tournament winning day. So eschewing all of the usage for the previous know, 6 weeks of the season, I'm throwing him in this lineup. Secondary stack of Aaron Jones, with Brandon Cooks in the flex. And I've got a third correlation in this lineup with Terry McLaurin as my third wide receiver and Dalton Schultz at the tight end with the Chiefs defense. So Stafford, Jones, Gurley, Galladay, Jones, Jr., McLaurin, Schultz, Cooks, Chiefs D.
Look at that. Okay. That's a lot of lineups there.
That is a lot of lineups. Why don't we do one more?
Yeah, you want to do the Thursday night optimal lineup?
We save this for the end because it doesn't live long, right? If you're listening to this Saturday, this is expired already. So we could do two things here. We could say that there's a report out there right now that
Shatter report.
No, Dez Bryant is signing with the Ravens.
Oh, okay.
Not the Seahawks.
Practice squad. Yes, I saw that.
Practice squad, which... Yep. So we'll see what happens there. And then our showdown captain lineup for Thursday night football, Eagles and the Giants. Captain chair, Daniel Jones. I have teammates for him, Devonta Freeman and Sterling Shepard. And on the other side of that game, I have in my flex Carson Wentz, Travis Fulgham. And here's my punt. And by the way, I had this lineup set before this player was signed from the practice squad.
Wow.
Jason Kroom.
No way.
Tight end caught a touchdown last week. Remember, no Goddard, no Zach Ertz. Jason Kroom and Richard Rodgers will be the tight ends for Philadelphia. He's only 200, so kind of a fun guy to throw into your captain lineup tonight.
$200?
$200.
$200.
If for perspective, Daniel Jones as your captain will cost you $15,600. So,
wow.
Not going to cost you much.
Not going to cost you that much. Awesome. Guys, thank you again for such a great week. It's always fun being able to do this with you. And to everybody that's listening, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us on top of the season-long show. We know we give you guys a ton of content, so thank you so much for sticking with us and hanging out. Hopefully, we're able to bring a little bit of fun as well as make you a little bit of money. So for Mike and for Al, I want to say thank you to both of you. Anything that you guys want to add before we get out of here?
Just make sure you join our free contest, right? Unlimited participants, free to enter, $200 and weekly prize. This usually do this. I can't even say it. $200 and weekly prizes for nothing. So you could just have fun, set a lineup, try to beat us. You and I will both be in that. Al, you got to set a lineup in there. Do you do that? I think Kyle does.
I'll toss one of my tournament lineups.
Yeah, throw a tournament lineup in there. Go ahead. Let's
see
what happens.
See how it goes. So, do that.
Follow Al at Al Zeidenfeld on YouTube. Al, is there anywhere else that we follow you for any of your content?
A Zeidenfeld on YouTube, Al Zeidenfeld on Instagram and Twitter.
Sounds great.
There you go.
At Mike Clay NFL.
correct?
I'm at Daniel Dopp. And like we say every week, guys, don't forget to love each other. Call somebody you haven't talked to in a little while. Let them know how much they mean to you. They probably would really love to be able to hear from you and say, hey, you know what? I haven't heard from that person in a while. It means a lot to know that I was on their mind.
There you go.
So do that. Call somebody. All right, guys. We love you. We'll see you next week. Be safe. Have a great weekend. And good luck in week 7.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.